Welcome to Heart with Keisha B., the podcast that focuses on the journey of grief, healing, and overcoming unforeseen circumstances. Whether you're dealing with loss or life challenges, this is a podcast that you don't want to miss. I am your host, Keisha B. So take a deep breath, open your mind and your soul, and sit back as we embark on this journey together. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Heart with Keisha B. We are so excited to have everyone here with us. If you are in the virtual space with us, just shoot us a little comment so we can see who's all in the virtual space with us today. Today being myself, LaKeisha, as you all know me now as Keisha B, and my special guest, Bianca Hooper. We'll go ahead and get started, everyone. Everyone, again, thank you for coming in this evening to Heart with Keisha B. As many of you all know, this is something that is a passion of mine. I've started this podcast based upon my own personal endeavors from a child all the way up into the more recent. I've started this podcast because what I know is that I am not alone in this journey, right? I'm not alone in the journey of grief. I'm not alone in the journey of healing, but more importantly, I'm not alone of thinking at times that I am alone. So with that, this is why I've started this podcast. It's because I want to be able to have a safe space to where people can come in, talk openly about their feelings, not feeling like they're being judged, not feeling like they're not being listened to, and to know that it is okay, number one, to grieve. It is okay to talk about grief, but what's more important is it is okay to heal. And so throughout all of that, one of my key phrases is give yourself grace. Give yourself grace as you're grieving. Give yourself grace as you're healing. What does that mean? That means that at any given moment, those emotions can run parallel. And because they run parallel, they're very tricky, right? And because they're very tricky, don't be so hard on yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself when these unexpected emotions come up. So again, this is why I started this podcast, is because I understand the importance of talking about a subject that many times is very uncomfortable. One of the things I often have told others, and I tell myself, that in order to find a place of comfort, you have to step in environments that are very uncomfortable. So as we know, grief is a very uncomfortable topic. Grief is a very uncomfortable subject. But as of today, we are going to change that narrative. And when I say we, I don't just mean Keisha B. I don't just mean Bianca. I don't just mean my guests that are here today. I mean, we as a community, we have to begin to change the language that grief is okay to talk about. Grief is okay to deal with. And the reasons for that is because each and every one of us have either grieved and or will grieve. So again, that is why we're here today. And so again, my special guest is Bianca. Bianca comes to us with her own story. So Bianca, first of all, thank you for joining us today here in West Virginia. Let me just say that, because I think, well, no, we got people here from West Virginia. We have people from Colorado. We have people from New York. We have people from Detroit. We have people from West Virginia. So we are in the building today. So Bianca, thank you. You want to tell them a little bit about yourself and why you're here with us today?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on your show. It's such an honor. My name is Bianca, and I'm the author of Dealing with Loss. It's a book that is a 31-day book to help those who are dealing with grief heal from the pain that's attached to loss. So if you want me, I can jump into it. The reason why I wrote it, the reason why I wrote the book actually was during the pandemic. Let me first say this. The pandemic, it was tough for a lot of people. Yes. It was tough for all of us. A lot of us lost loved ones. A lot of us were in the house, not able to go outside. And a lot of people that lost a loved one during the holiday, they didn't even get a chance to say goodbye, especially if that person was in the hospital. So it was just a tough time. And I started to write the book, my book, during this time, because it was painful to watch people that I knew, people that were close to me, go through this traumatic loss and not know what to do, not know how to get through day to day. The backstory, even that goes back further behind that, is I dealt with my own loss at a very young age. I lost my mom in 06. I was a teenager, lost my dad several years later. And so I've been through the tumultuous waters, so to say, that grief offers you, that you have to go through when you're grieving and when you lose someone that's so dear to you. And so God just really put it on my heart. My book, it's a spiritual book. I arm you with scripture. I arm you with daily affirmations. I give you a space to journal, right? Like, I believe in theology and therapy. that's big for me. You know, therapy is huge. And so my book really comes from a place of therapy. Like, okay, let's walk through this together day by day, and let's heal from the pain attached from dealing with a loss of a loved one.
Right. So Bianca, you know, you and I, we've had opportunity to talk prior to you coming on today. And what I want our guests to know is, let's talk about what grief looked like for you. Right. We talked about Bianca was able to write a book, but let's even go back to when mom passed, right? When mom passed, as we all know, death just shake us all up, right? When, whether it's something that we expect someone dying or just unexpectedly, but I want you to share your powerful story with our guests, because what I know in speaking with you, Bianca, is that our story is a sort of parallel, right? And I know that even some of my guests today, because I do know some of my guests personally, I know that your story, my story, is very touching to others because it's all about perseverance, right? So do you want to share a little bit about who you are and why this subject means so much to you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I lost my mom. It wasn't during a holiday, so to say, but it was a holiday for the average student, right? So spring break, every student gets to go on spring break. It's like a 2-week break period. It's a celebration time for all of us to just be able to relax, let loose, do anything besides schoolwork. And so when my mom passed away, it was actually during a spring break time. And it was one of the toughest things that I probably went through in my life. Grief can bring a lot of different things out of you that you didn't expect. And some of those things could be like unhealthy coping mechanisms that, you know, you didn't know of before. And so for me, going through this, I developed different unhealthy coping mechanisms. Not knowing how to handle it, not knowing who to talk to, not even knowing that there was a place where I could go get therapy, right? Mm-hmm. Back in the day, back in our day, Keisha, you know, nobody was talking about therapy. Therapy was like,
what is that? Right? Like, you keep your business in the house.
It was like, what is that? And then therapy was also like, for the people that were going, they were shunned. And actually, a lot of those people that went to therapy, they were better off, actually. I wish I was in it back then, but we didn't know. You know, you didn't know, especially being a young teenage girl, didn't know. And I coped in unhealthy ways. I mean, I coped through, you know, when you lose a loved one, there's different ways that you can unhealthily cope, right? Mm-hmm. For me, it hit me in shopping. You know, buying things that I didn't need to buy. I mean, I got that inheritance money and I just, I don't even remember a cent from it. That I didn't buy anything useful. I gave away money to family. I gave away money to friends. I remember I was in high school still, my mom passed, and I bought one of my really good best friends, like one of the top line Timberlands, you know, Timberlands. They were big back in the day.
Here's my question for you, Bianca. Where's that friend at now?
She's still around. We don't talk like that, though.
Okay.
We don't talk every day. We might talk once a year. That's a good point. And I'm so glad you asked that, because, you know, you can do a lot of random things that are not healthy for you. You can get in unhealthy relationships. You know, I had my share of that, unhealthy relationships, unhealthy attachments that you can get into. Check this out. in my book, I talk about how a lot of people, when they're grieving, some people will just randomly start getting sick and they're like, why am I always sick? Why am I always this? It's because grief actually impacts you. It impacts your psyche, right? And it impacts you psychologically. It impacts your body. It impacts you physically. There's a lot of people that are grieving. They'll be getting these headaches all the time and not sure why. It's because the grief is coming out in their body.
Right.
And they're getting ulcers in their stomach and they don't know why. I meet a lot of people that are going through that. And they're like, why am I always sick? Why am I always this? The grief is coming out through your body. It's going to come out one way or the other. Right. But you need to find out, how are you going to process it? And how are you going to get it to come out? Physically, that's a painful thing to have it being expressed through your body. You know, psychologically, that comes out in the form of tears, you know, sadness, depression, things like that. But when it starts to impact your physical well-being, right, and you're feeling that stress and it's impacting you, that's pretty significant.
Yeah. You know, you brought up something I always talk about, you know, when we talk about the unhealthy way of coping with grief. You know, I think back to when I was a young child, for those who know and those who do not know, I, by the age of 8, had already lost both of my parents. My father was murdered when I was 3. My mother was murdered when I was 8. And at that point, I really didn't realize what was going on, because that just became my life, right? But what I realized was, and I didn't realize this till later, let me say that, is that my unhealthy way of coping was I thought all the time, right? I tell people this now, and I don't use it as a joke, but it really is my truth. Fighting became a hobby for me. So I found ways, I found people that I would do just enough, right? Just enough to maybe push their buttons so that they would do something so I can just release what I was going through. As the old saying goes, hurt people hurt people. But you brought up a very good point. I didn't realize that's what I was doing. I didn't realize that I was grieving. What I thought was, it is what it is. You know, I'm going to do it however I want to do it. I'm going to act however I want to act. And there's no repercussions for it, because I just didn't realize that I was grieving. Because why? Because oftentimes, even today, people think that grief means crying. If you're not crying, then you're not grieving. If you're not outwardly showing, somebody says, oh, she's not grieving. Well, just because I got a smile on my face, excuse my language, damn it, it don't mean I'm not grieving. Right. Mm-hmm. Because I think the world has a false misconception of what grief is. So here I was, this child that went through life of growing up, of being angry, being told that she just has an attitude, or being told that, oh, she doesn't like to deal with people. No, I was grieving. I just didn't know how to process this. Why? Because in the home, we didn't talk about it. In the community, nobody talked about it, you know? So I had to figure out as a young child how to deal with my everyday life that was already foreign to me. So when I look back over my life, I found out at 8 years old, sitting on someone's lap, my mother had been murdered, you know, and then 10 years go by, 10 years of other people having to deal with my trauma, right? 10 years of other people having to deal with me fighting them because I'm thinking they just pissed me off. When the reality was, they didn't have anything to do with my mother being murdered. They didn't have anything to do with my father being murdered. But because I didn't know how to process this, I went 10 years fighting. And, you know, I share this story sometimes with people, that I moved to West Virginia in 1985. I was a third grade student at 8 years old. I graduated high school May of 1994, 10 year gap. Every year I fought, right? But check this out. I went to college at 18 years old. And I remember before I left for college, I told myself, I have to grow up. I have to grow up because I have to be on my own. I have to become mature. Got all these expectations for myself of what I need to do. I wasn't prepared for. I wasn't prepared to be off on my own in college and finally break. I wasn't prepared for that. I wasn't prepared to where I finally released all the things that had been pent up in me that I never let out, because I never cried. I never talked about it. I didn't know who to talk to about it. It wasn't that my family didn't care. It's just that, hell, we all was grieving, right? We all was grieving in our own way. But here's the catch to all of that. When I cried, I no longer fought anybody. I no longer got in a fight anymore. And that didn't mean my attitude got any better, right? But what it meant was I no longer had to physically let out what I internally was dealing with. And so I think when you talk about, you know, coping and coping with unhealthy ways, that was my unhealthy way, but I just didn't realize it at such a young age. So I think you bring up a good point that I'm sure other people, if they look at, you know, what they're going through now, may be able to identify, you know, oh, this is not healthy, or maybe they don't recognize it, but maybe one of their other loved ones need to help them identify that this is not healthy for you and offer the support they can give.
Yeah, that's good. I'm so glad you shared that. But yeah, what I like that you talked about when you cried, you no longer had that hostility mm-hmm. in you, and you weren't, you know, wanting to fight. And crying is not easy for everyone. You know, like, I mean, that is a hard thing to do mm-hmm. When you lose a loved one, because you're risking it all when you cry. You're literally letting out all of that pain. And it sometimes can feel easier to bottle it in. Mm-hmm. One of my first chapters in my book, it's Jesus Wept. And I talk about how, like, it's okay to cry, but check this out. If you didn't cry, that's also okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you might need to take your time getting there.
Right.
You know, I talk about how it doesn't matter what gender you are. If you're a man, you know, it doesn't matter what culture you come from. It is okay to cry. Jesus was a full grown man, considered the Son of God. And here he was. The Bible literally says the shortest verse ever in the Bible. Jesus wept. I'm like, whoa, that caught my attention. Uh-huh. Why was Jesus weeping if he knew he was going to raise Lazarus again?
Right.
And when I actually started digging into the scriptures, he had this this deep, holy anger actually at the pain that people are experiencing from grief. Mm-hmm. So that told me right there, he doesn't like to see other people in pain.
Right.
God doesn't like to see other people in pain. He doesn't like to see them wrestling with it, having all that emotional turmoil, mm-hmm. which means he desires for us to be healed. I like also what you were sharing about that anger and that hostility. Because in my book, I talk about how that's considered the behavioral impact of grief, right? Mm-hmm. Grief, I mentioned this earlier, and I wanted to make sure I say it a little bit clear again. But it can impact you. It can be expressed psychologically, right? So psychologically would look like you're having difficulty concentrating. Mm-hmm. You feel restless at night. You have this fear of getting close to other people. You're having nightmares. You might have trouble breathing. You might even feel powerless or helpless or almost feel like you're going crazy. Mm-hmm. You could also feel more symptoms during holidays, which is what we're talking about now.
Yeah.
More symptoms are on holidays, birthdays, spring break. It could be any holiday. It doesn't mm-hmm. even have to be Christmas, but you'll feel that through that psychological impact. And behavioral, what that looks like. And a lot of people, they don't realize your grief can be expressed that way.
Yeah.
And it's so important to talk about the behavioral impacts, because that looks like hostility in kids. You know, if you have a child, if people have children that lost a sibling or something like that, mm-hmm. or like for me, I was a kid when I lost my parents. That could look like rebellion, mm-hmm. acting out, picking fights with others. Right. That comes out a lot in kids and even adults.
Mm-hmm.
I know adults, I advise some people now and then, and I was talking to somebody and they said, man, my sister, after my dad died, she's always angry with me. And I said, she's not angry with you. She's right. angry
at the situation.
And I said, just be patient with her. Mm-hmm. I said, it's going to take some time, because she might not even realize it for years.
Right.
Because it does take a while to process that. And then you look back like your story and you're like, oh, wait a minute. That's why I was picking fights. You know, like mm-hmm. I look back at a lot of the stuff I did. Passive aggressively picking fights.
Yeah.
You know what yeah. I mean? Like not even realizing it, but it was a way that grief was expressed. Mm-hmm. And then physical, like I dealt with some physical impacts of grief. You know, that looks like loss of appetite, mm-hmm. insomnia, not being able to sleep. You're like, why can't I sleep all of a sudden at night?
Mm-hmm.
It could be you're experiencing a symptom of grief. You know, you could be feeling sick a lot, loss of energy. I know a lot of people, they just like, literally, they just feel like this, like they have no energy. It doesn't matter what vitamins they take. They'll keep going to the doctor over and over again. And the doctors will say, nah, there's nothing wrong with you.
Everything's right. Everything's okay.
Everything's fine. You're grieving. It will impact.
It shows up at different times. Yeah.
Yeah, it shows up at different times. It really does. Yeah.
You know, one of the things I think that's not often talked about as far as a symptom when you talk about psychological. So when I lost my son, hardest death ever, you know, I don't even think I had to talk that why it's the hardest death. But I realized something different psychologically than what I had with all the other deaths I had encountered over my life. What I realized was that many days I had difficulty remembering something. Right. And so that's the impact that grief also has psychologically, is that you'll find that you have like brain fog. Right. So you'll find that you can't remember certain things. People are looking at you like you're crazy. You know, I had oftentimes my daughter be like, didn't I just tell you that? And I try to look at her like, you did, you know. And finally, I had to say to her, I don't mean to keep asking you to repeat yourself. I really don't. Yep. But please understand that I am having a very difficult time focusing. I'm having a very difficult time remembering. And it's just part of grief. It was to the point where I had to research it initially, like, well, damn, am I really losing my mind? Like, is something really wrong with me? Because I had never experienced that aspect of grief. I had grieved many a times, right? I had lost my parents. I have lost my friends. I've lost my significant other. But this death here, let me tell you, it is something that in many days I can't even describe. But what I do know, the difference was me not being able to remember. And I still have some difficulty sometimes remembering certain things, because I just think that part of me, some of it could be a defense mechanism, right? I could be trying to not remember some things. That too is not the healthiest thing ever, but I do know that my memory is not as sharp as it was prior to losing my son.
Yeah.
I see that Jess said that brain fog is real. Yeah, Jess, it really is.
Yeah, the brain fog, I experienced that. That was after the loss of my dad. Mm-hmm. And I always honor my dad's memory. I'm trying to find the best way to say it. A lot of us have fathers who were absent. They weren't really in our life. But for me, when I look back at my dad, I know he tried his best. But even though I wasn't as close to him, when he died, it still impacted me. And that one was actually the worst than me losing my mother. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, because some people say, well, man, why am I feeling this much grief? And I wasn't even that close to this person. It doesn't really matter if you were that close to them or not. It can still impact you in a heavy way. Mm-hmm. It really can, you know, especially if it's someone you were related to. Right. You know, it can impact you, especially if it was a parent you were, you know, maybe they weren't always around, but that's still your parent. You know, you're gonna grieve. But that one was the worst. That's when I fully just broke down. Mm-hmm. And I said, I realized, I said, I have lost both of my parents. Like, what is next for me? So you almost have like this loss of vision for your life, not really knowing what's next when you lose a loved one. There's a lot of different emotions that can come with it. There's a lot of different emotions that can come with it.
I see one of our guests here said, all I can remember was my daily routine. Yeah, some days that's all you can do is just go off of what you're doing for that moment to even keep you grounded. You know, Bianca, you brought us something that was important. I rarely ever talk about this particular subject, but my biological mother had three biological children. And one passed before I was born. And then I had a brother who's older than I. And he and I, we didn't grow up together. So I knew him as my brother, but I didn't really know him as my brother, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so 2013, 2014, he passed away. And I remember standing there in his over his casket. And I remember just breaking down and I was just crying. And I'm sure everybody in the church was probably wondering, you know, the why. They probably thought I was just crying because it was my brother. But it was like trauma to me, because what I realized was like, oh my God, like every aspect of my mother it's completely gone. Like, I'm it, right? Like, there's no more kids. Like, this is it. So, my granted, and hear me when I say this, and I hope my list, I hope the listeners understand this too. In my mind, and it's probably because of my childhood trauma, I have family and I have members of my family, right? Mm. In my mind, my family is my biological mother, my biological father, and my children. And everyone else are my family members, right? Love them all. But when my brother passed away, even though he and I did not, we were not raised together and we really didn't have a relationship, I felt like every aspect of my mother was gone and I was it. So it was like I had to carry on the torch of something that she started. And when you want to talk about something trauma, even though I really never cried, but that was like trauma for me. So not only was I just crying over the fact that my brother had passed, but I was crying over my reality that I am it. I am the last of my mother and everybody else is just part of me, you know? When we talk about trauma, we talk about grief, and we talk about how it all is, it's all together, right? Like it all goes hand in hand and we just don't know how and when it's going to show up. But when it shows up, sometimes it's like a reality check and sometimes we're not even quite ready for it, right? And I think that brings us into where we are today when we talk about the holidays. As we know, you know, holidays is something that for some people is joyous, you know, like people look forward to putting up the Christmas tree. People look forward to going Christmas shopping. People look forward to the dinners, but there's a magnitude of people who are like, I don't want to do any of it. I just want to be to myself, you know? So I want to open it up to you, Bianca, and even our guests, if you all wish to put something in the chat, and even if you want to join us live, I have an opportunity. I can send a link. You all can join us live as well. So feel free if you wish to do that, that's perfect as well. But Bianca, do you want to sort of talk about what does the holidays look like for Bianca?
Yeah.
With grief.
That's a good question. So I'll talk about how the holidays used to look for me. And then I'll talk about how they look now and how I got here. Mm-hmm. So the holidays used to look for me, the way it used to look like for me when my parents had passed and, you know, realizing that that's it, I don't have anybody. It was the worst time of the year for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, up until I think even last year, this was before I published my book, I would be depressed during the holidays. Literally the weeks coming up to the holidays, I would just go in and out of just depression, the seasonal depression, lots of tears, lots of just like feeling down, trying to pick myself up every day because the pain and the painful emotions that are attached to grief, they're very real. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this theory, it's called the 5 stages of loss. And it talks about how you can cycle through these feelings of depression, bargaining. Bargaining is like the feeling of regret or even guilt, right? There's a lot of, I had a lot of guilt, feeling like, oh, well, maybe I should have did this or done this and maybe they wouldn't have died. Or maybe if I would have prayed a little bit harder, my mom wouldn't have died. Maybe if I would have been a better person, you know, I even had some like, I don't want to call it anger at God, but more like a shameful feeling in myself of maybe if I was a better person, if I hadn't committed this or this sin, God would have kept my mom around. And this was like me feeling this at a young age.
That's a lot to carry.
All the way through like half of my life, pretty much just carrying this like deep sense of shame, this deep sense of guilt, regret, depression, you know, another stage of the 5 stages of loss, anger, denial, you know, just like denial looks like just you're not even acknowledging what happened. You're like, oh, I'm good. Mm-hmm. I was like that when my mom first passed away. Everybody at school said, take time off, you know, take your bereavement. Nope, got to get back to school. Mm-hmm. Got to keep moving. And after a while, you just crash. And what the crashing looked like for me was crashing completely during the holidays, like just complete burnout, just cycling through. But there's this fifth stage, so to say, it's one of the stages in the 5 stages of loss, which I believe is the door out. It's called acceptance, right? And so I'm going to talk about how I got to where I am now. Now I don't feel a sense of like I'm dealing with these deep, dark, painful feelings during the holiday. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that I don't miss my loved ones. It doesn't mean that I don't miss my mom or dad. It doesn't mean that I forgot them. But what it means is through the door of acceptance, I'm transitioning into this place where I can experience healing from the pain attached from dealing with loss. Mm-hmm. You'll never forget your loved one. You'll never, you can't just like get over losing a loved one. That's not how it works. But what I discovered and what I feel is that God wanted to heal me from those painful emotions, because what happens is you'll end up bleeding on other people.
That's a heart to heart right there.
People.
You
know, and I say that in a laughing way, and I'm laughing at myself more because I've bled on some people. Mm-hmm. I have bled on some people because of those pain points that were attached to me dealing with loss at a young age. And then not even just dealing with one loss, but dealing with it back to back.
Yeah.
Back to back grief. And so the holidays were horrible. Mm-hmm. It was, I mean, I would be talking about it. I felt like an orphan. I said, I need to find some place to go. I just felt all alone. It didn't matter how many people were around me. It didn't matter. But when I started writing my book, it actually was like, it was more so like I was almost like journaling, actually. And it was like God was speaking to me and sharing things with me. And so the way that I got to where I am now, and where I'm like not depressed anymore, I don't feel that depression. I don't feel those painful emotional pain points attached to grief, is through reading scripture, actually. Mm-hmm. God started revealing some stuff to me in scripture, just little by little, when I was able to open my ears and walk through that door of acceptance. And the first scripture that I read, which blew my mind, I had read this scripture so many times. I think everybody has heard the Sermon on the Mount. Mm-hmm. All of us have heard it, we call it the Beatitudes, right? Some people call it the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount. But there's this one, it's a Matthew 5:4. And this is Jesus talking. This is red letters, like red bottoms. And he's like, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So I start looking it up, because I'm like, okay, what is you talking about? Like, why am you're telling me I'm blessed when I'm mourning? Like, Jesus, you're tripping. Uh-huh. You know, like, I'm not blessed. I'm stressed.
Right.
And I started looking up the meanings of these words, and the word blessed, and I might pronounce this wrong, but it comes from the Greek word makarios, which means happy. And so I said, wait a minute, you're telling me I can be happy when I mourn and I'm going to be comforted?
Yes.
How? Mm-hmm. Like this, it didn't make sense to me. And so I started reading more and more, and this is how I got there. I read John 14, and John 14 talks about how the disciples were mourning Jesus's death before he had died, because he was telling them about it. And so they were mourning, and they're like, oh, we can't live without you. You know, like, they were close to Jesus. Like, how would we be close to a loved one? And he tells them that he's going to go prepare a place for them where there's where there's many mansions, and that they can live here. And he starts to describe this mansion. And I said, oh, that reminds me of what you said, comfort. This mansion was a place of comfort, right? And he's talking a lot about like the Holy Spirit. He's like, I'm going to leave a gift for you. Mm-hmm. And it's the Holy Spirit. And so God started revealing to me what I call, so I came up with my own theory that God, from what God revealed to me. And he started revealing to me this place that you can go to after you go through that door of acceptance, right? After you're done cycling through all those stages of grief. And I call it the house of comfort, right? Mm-hmm. So the way he painted this picture for me is he said, okay, Bianca, picture the five stages of loss as a house. It's a house. right? And every day you're cycling through depression is in one corner, and then you're feeling guilt, you're feeling lonely, you're feeling anger. And then at the door is acceptance. I'm on the outside of that door, and I'm telling you, come and take my hand so that you can walk with me, so I can comfort you. And that's where we get to the house of comfort. And in the house of comfort, you'll experience this, you know, you'll experience healing, freedom, mm-hmm. joy, peace, all of these things that God wants you to experience. So instead of depression, God's going to restore joy to you. Instead of feeling trapped with shame and guilt, he's going to free you from all those chains. He'll heal you from everything, all the mm-hmm. pain that's attached from dealing with loss. And so I want to make this clear. Like I said, it doesn't mean that you're going to forget your loved one. But what it means is that you can heal from the pain attached to loss, and you don't have to bleed on other people. And I want to make that clear, because I was a bleeder. mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can fall into this trap when you lose a loved one of this victim mentality.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And you can fall into it, because I was there for a while. Mm-hmm. I was there, and it was everybody's fault, and I was angry at everyone, and they owed me this and this. And God started helping me slowly transition out of that, mm-hmm. where I went to this house called the House of Comfort, and he just started healing me, giving me back joy, giving me back the things I had before. So holidays now for me look like I can have joy. Mm-hmm. I can go out and celebrate. I can go watch Christmas lights. I never forget my mom. I think about her all the time during the holidays. I think about her on her birthday. Mm-hmm. Actually, I celebrate her birthday. I celebrate. That's a way for me to honor her mm-hmm. and honor her memory. You know, I honor her during the holidays, and my dad, and I think about them, and I'll do things that maybe they would have liked to do. You know, like my dad loved matching outfits and stuff like that. You know, I get matching outfits for the family. But it's just a way to honor their memory without feeling sad. It doesn't mean that you're not going to cry.
That part.
I did cry. I have cried. I think I haven't cried as much as I used to cry in the past, but I cried once, but it was like tears of joy. Mm-hmm. Like, man, if my mom could see me where I am now and how far I've made it, she would be so proud of me. Mm-hmm. She would be, and I'm sure she does see me now, and she's looking down like, wow, like,
yeah,
you're doing excellent. Like, I'm proud of you.
And Bianca, but I'm sorry,
that's how, like, for me now. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
And some of the things that you brought up actually are, thank you for that, is because you've been able to provide our guests with the real, right? This is what it is, right? But what you've also done is that you've given them opportunities to understand that grief does not just go away, right? The symptoms of grief just don't go away. They will show up at any given moment. Like, they're like that guest that you wasn't expecting just come knock on your door, and you're like, man, I can't believe you're here. I wasn't expecting company today, and boom, there it is, right? So it's that unexpected guest sometimes that we just don't want to be bothered with. We got other things to do, and sometimes it just interrupts us when we least expect it. But also, it's the opportunity to heal while still grieving, right? But I think what you've done is you've given people an opportunity to hear, I found rituals that I could do, right? I still remember my mom by doing these things. I'm still able to do this. I may cry, but I remember my dad because my dad used to like to dress up. So now you're doing things in his honor. And so I think that's something that, you know, is definitely important for our listeners to hear, is that even when you're grieving, it's finding things that remind you of your loved one that will allow for you to put a smile on your face. Because here's the thing, everyone, it is okay to smile when you're grieving. It is okay to have moments of happiness when you're grieving. Grieving doesn't mean that you always have to cry. And don't feel like, hear me out here, don't feel like you owe anybody any explanations for how you are grieving, because you don't, right? How you show up is how you show up. And some days I'm going to show up pretty, and some days I'm going to be a hot mess.
Yeah.
But as long as I'm healing through my hot mess, accept me for who I am, where I am, you know? But I know that some of my guests know this. I know, Bianca, you and I, we talked about this as we were starting the podcast today when we talk about the holidays, right? So here we are. We are 2.5 weeks away from the new year. And as most people are getting ready for 2025, they can't wait for New Year's Eve because they want to, you know, they want to watch the ball drop. They want to do this. They want to do that. They have all these things planned in their head. And I, too, used to do that until 6 years ago. 6 years ago on New Year's Eve, on Monday morning, 7:30 a.m., 6 years ago, this coming year, as I prepared to go to work, what I was not prepared for was to see my significant other deceased on New Year's Eve. And so New Year's is something different for me. The first year was pretty tough, right? I was like, I don't want to be bothered. Don't call my phone. Don't send me no Happy New Year's. I used to tell people it may be a Happy New Year for you, but this ain't Happy New Year for me, right? Mm-hmm. But now I learned to look at it from a whole different standpoint for me, right? And for my son, who I'm also raising, because what I realize is as I'm compartmentalizing or as I'm dealing with my own self, I have a kid that's also trying to learn how to process his grief along the holiday, because it's not just a holiday anymore for him. It is a memory that he no longer has his father. It's a memory of remembering what that day sounded like for him when he learned about it, what that day looked like for him when he learned about it, you know? So it's finding ways to find healthy ways to work through what didn't seem so nice and what didn't feel so good during the holidays. And it's given people the opportunity to know this. And I say this quite often, and I had to live this myself. You ain't got to go to nobody's house for Thanksgiving. You ain't got to go to nobody's house for Christmas. If you don't want to show up at loved ones' homes for holidays, it's quite okay. You don't owe anybody any explanations, right? Because it may just look different for you this holiday. And it's okay. You may want to say, hey, you know what? It's going to take time. You may have to start a new ritual. You know, your ritual may be, I used to go to grandma's house every year. The whole family used to be over there, but there's somebody missing. And I'm not ready to deal with that somebody missing. So don't feel guilty if you have to have the holiday by yourself or if you have to just invite a few people over your home. And I think so often as we're dealing with the holiday, because the holiday brings joy, I'm going to use these words with quotations. I don't know, quotations. For some people, it's not joyful, you know, but I think we're here today to talk about that, because grief can show up at any time. How do you show up in those moments? And so what I'm going to ask, I know that some of our guests are just here by comments, because I'm reading some of your comments. Does anybody mind to tell me, how do you show up for your holiday? How does holidays affect you when you were grieving, or how has holidays affected you when you were grieving? I'll read these off as they're coming through, so that way we have some engagement on that side as well. If there's anybody who wishes to just chime in, I know I have some that say, yes, it comes at times. I just would rather not be bothered. Yeah, I think that's the grief that comes at times when we just don't want to be bothered. It's like a knock at the door, set stranger sometimes that we're not looking for.
Yeah.
And so, you know, everyone, as we are preparing for the holidays, and some are not, I will share some of the things that I am doing this year for the holiday. I have vowed, I don't know if you all seen it today, but there's 10 days up until the date of Christmas. And so what I plan to do is for the next 10 days, give tips on how to handle or how to operate or how to deal with going through the holiday. Today is acknowledge your feelings, right? Acknowledge your feelings to be real. If you're sad, it's okay to be sad. If you're angry, it's okay to be angry. If you don't want to show up, you don't have to show up, and you don't have to feel guilty for any of that, because it is your story, right? It is your grief that you're going through. Everybody's grief is different. So feel that whatever you're going through right now, I would say to you, focus on that, but don't stay in that, right? Don't stay in that moment of sadness. Don't stay in that moment of anger. Try to find something, try to find some type of ritual to help you work through this moment. But again, it is okay to grieve and heal all at the same time. Bianca, is there anything else? Let me see. I have someone saying, I'm still trying to figure out what Christmas is going to look like this year. As you know, it's my first one without my sister, so I have lots of feelings and emotions. I don't know if other guests can see that, but it's actually Jess. Jess was my first guest on my podcast last week, and Jess just lost her sister 3 months ago. And so this is very new for Jess as she is.
My condolences to you, Jess.
Yeah, she's approaching the holiday without her sister. Jess, as you know, you are definitely in my prayers throughout this time. And I know that you know this, that you're not alone in this, that there's others that you can reach out to during this time. Feel free to always reach out to me as well. On this podcast today to talk about holidays hurt, but I think I saw Tony say he takes it day by day. Honestly, for me, every day is the same for me. So I don't really look at it as just being Christmas. I look at it as another day for me to heal. I look at it for another day for me to persevere through my trials and tribulations. Christmas is the day on the calendar, right? Christmas is very important. I'm not minimizing the importance of Christmas. But for myself, I have to see it as a day of me continuously healing to be able to move throughout that day and move on to the next day.
Yeah. You know, I can share some tips, some things that I wrote about in my book that I wish I would have known when I was grieving that can help through the holidays. But one of the things I'll say is don't isolate yourself. Mm-hmm. Because when you isolate yourself for too long and you're all alone, you start to get too many negative thoughts in your head. You know, that can, it might be a thought of, oh, I'm all alone. You know, no one wants to talk to me, or, you know, I don't have any friends, or I don't have any family. You don't want to isolate yourself. It's okay to have alone time to process that grief. But if you're going to be alone, journal, you know, write, you know, try to get something out on paper to process how you're feeling. But don't just sit there alone in complete silence and darkness. One of the other things I talked about is speak words of encouragement to your heart and your soul to renew your mind. There's this verse in the book of Psalms that David talks, and he says, it's Psalms 43:5. And he says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. A lot of times, like speaking to yourself out loud and encouraging yourself, you're telling your soul to get in line with something that's going to uplift you, with something that's going to encourage you. So I definitely encourage that. I encourage praying, ask God for strength. You know, it's not easy, especially going through a first anything after losing a loved one, holiday, birthday, anything. It's not easy. And there's a verse at 2 Corinthians 12:9. It says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect when you're feeling weak. So, and we all feel that sense of like deep weakness and loss of strength when we lose a loved one. But those are just some tips. And remember, you know, you're created for community. You're created to be around people. You don't have to be alone. If you choose to be alone, that's okay. But no, there's people, you're not alone in this walk. There's other people that care about you. There's other people that love you, that want to walk through the journey with you. Me and Keisha are two people, you know, walking with you through grief hand in hand. So just know you're not alone.
Yeah. I see, Jennifer, as you were talking about writing, one of the guests here says, I write or I do voice messages. It is the only way I feel I can express when I'm feeling without the judgment of others that want me to just get over it, or without bleeding out on others and burdening them with my grief. I think, Jennifer, you said something that I often say is one of the most insensitive things that one could say. For anybody who know me or don't know me, my professional job is that I'm a therapist. I have taken on now the role of as a life coach as well. And if there's nothing more that frustrates me, all right, and I'm going to be very candid and very transparent here, is get over it. I think that is the most rudest, the most disrespectful, the most inhumane thing that a person can say to someone, because you don't get over grief. What you do in grief is that you get through grief, yeah, moment by moment, day by day, sometimes second by second, right? And then I throw this caveat there. Going through grief allows me to feel my real feelings. It is my reality. right? But if one were to get over grief, what you're translating is forget about my loved one. That's what that equals, right? Yeah, so I always say to people, yeah. So as we have guests here today that are grieving, have went through grief, and we may even have some listeners who don't know how to show up for others that are grieving. Let me share some tips with you. Please, whatever you do, don't tell someone to get over it. Please, whatever you do, don't tell someone it's been forever and you still dealing with this. Yes, they are. Understand this. When someone is grieving, sometimes they just need someone to show up. They may not need your voice. They may just need your shoulder. They may just need your ear, right? They may just need to have someone there when they're feeling like they're isolated from everybody else. So for my guests that are not grieving right now, right, but you're listening, I want you to know this. Be patient with someone who's grieving. Everybody's grief may look different. Some days that person that's grieving may be a little bit nasty. Don't take it personal. It ain't got nothing to do with you. It may just be that they don't know how to truly deal with the emotions that they're feeling at that time because it may be foreign to them. So Jennifer, I apologize for whomever has told you to get over it because you've known me for quite some time. And I'm going to tell you, you can't get over it. But what you can do is that you can work through grief. You can work through the process of grief to get to the point of healing. And your healing is going to look different, right? Your time frame of healing is going to look different. But the most important thing is taking that step, right? Grief is uncomfortable. This topic is very uncomfortable. I know it. It's uncomfortable to feel. It's uncomfortable to talk about. It's uncomfortable to hear. But I always tell my kids this, and I always tell myself this as well. In order to get to a point of comfort, you have to be put in an uncomfortable situation, right? Mm-hmm. In order to get to a place of comfort, you have to take a step out. And it's fearful, right? It's scary. It's scary to take that next step to learn to heal because you don't know what's on the other side of that. But that's where healing begins, is taking that step, even when it feels uncomfortable, even when it feels unnatural. It's just taking that step and understanding that it's not going to be anything that's quick, but it is possible. So Jennifer, anyone else out there who is grieving or who have been told to get over it, Keisha B is telling you, you can't get over it, but you can get through it.
Amen to that. Yep.
I see Tony say, just show up and be present.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been on here for, I love this topic. I think this is a topic that we can continue to talk about, but I want to be mindful of everybody's time. But this is a series that we can continue. But we do want to leave you with these words. As you are grieving during the holidays, as the holidays may look different for you, as the holidays may feel different for you, know that you can find peace amongst your grief. Know that there is peace amongst your grief. Know that you're not alone in this journey. Know that many of us are fighting this fight and we're walking this walk. But more importantly, we can all join hands together and heal along the way. I want to thank you for being a guest today, Bianca, on Heart to Heart with Keisha B. I know that we will continue to collab together on this topic and many others. I want to thank all of my guests who have engaged in some capacity today during our podcast. And I hope that you will continue to follow us. So I need you to open up your ears, take out some paper, take out your cell phone, open up your notes, whatever you got to do. But I would like to ask that you continue to follow Keisha B on Heart to Heart with Keisha B on Facebook. I would ask that you continue to follow, if you're not, subscribe to YouTube, Heart to Heart with Keisha B. And I also have a TikTok page. As you know, I often do different posts. My plan is to have a podcast episode out on a weekly basis. So that is who I am. So please continue to follow me. And Bianca, I want you to leave out with who you are and how they can find your book.
Sure. Again, my name is Bianca Hooper, author of Dealing with Loss, 31 Days of Healing from the Pain of Loss. And you can find my book on Amazon. everywhere. Just type in Dealing with Loss by Bianca Hooper. And I also have a website. It's doseofhopeforyou.com. And I can put that in the chat.
Please. I think everybody can see it. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Jess. There, Dose of Hope. There we are. She has it right there. There's all her information. So I hope that you all will please support this beautiful young lady as she has unraveled herself, as she has taken her bow off of what we sometimes believe to be a pretty package. It ain't always pretty, right? But healing is. Healing is something that is a beautiful thing. And I am here to tell you that it's a very peaceful thing as you walk through this life. So I want to give a special shout out to everyone that has been here today that have engaged in our podcast. I hope that you will continue to follow Heart to Heart with Keisha B. I'm always looking for guests. So if you have an amazing story that you would like to share with the public, with the world, please don't hesitate. Know that your voice no longer has to be closed. Know that your mouth is important and so is your heart. And we hope that you will continue to heal through this very uncomfortable topic of grief. Thank you for tuning in to Heart with Keisha B. Remember, grief may shape our journey, but it doesn't define who we are. Healing is not a straight path, but with every step forward, you're creating space for hope, strength, and new beginnings. If today's episode brought you comfort or clarity, share it with someone who might need it too. Let's continue building this community of compassion and resilience together. Until next time, take care of your heart, your mind, and your soul. Honor your journey and always know that brighter days are ahead. I am Keisha B, and this has been Heart to Heart.